Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Bearable Project. My name is Frank McDonough. I am just welcoming you to what's coming for 2024. Updates, we have a new website, www.thebearableproject.com. All of your apparel is located there. The link and information for Patreon and the access to the exclusive content is there. And as well as coming to Patreon here shortly, is at the access to the online seminar. So there's an online advanced seminar that comes with coaching and one-on-one as well. So you can look for that, you know, and just realize I just completed a training plan episode that's a Patreon exclusive. That's available for all of the shooters and the people that participate in the coaching and stuff. That's all through the Patreon page as well. So, again, enjoy this episode and all of the following. And appreciate all of you and all of your support over the years. It's crazy that we're above 100 episodes now. Good luck with this upcoming archery season. Take care.
This book, Cinzia, just does not like to work with.
Okay.
So we're gonna let this go, and I want to make sure that this actually goes live, before we get into this. And we'll, for everybody out there, if this is actually live and you are seeing it, please comment. Let us know how the audio is, and make sure that everything's squared away there. Yeah, figures. Page unresponsive. I was waiting for that to happen. It says that I am, but it's definitely hit or miss sometimes. So we'll wait it out here for a second. Unless anybody that's on Zoom can see it and put a message in chat, let me know. Let me pull up my web browser quick. There's one here, that'll work. So how's your did you officially start indoor season yet? Are you shooting
pretty regularly?
Have you shot any competitions yet for this year, like World Archery sanctioned events?
I shot in JVD, that it's not World Archery official, but there will be a European Indoor Championship in February, mm-hmm. Under World Archery rules. And now we have our trials to go to the indoor championship. So I'm competing in Italy. I have to do scores, mm-hmm. and then the national team will call the members for European championship. But now I'm shooting even with the compound just for fun.
I know. Yeah, you said that. I yes. Shot. That's awesome. Do you so we are definitely live, by the way. So I'm gonna quick share it to the Facebook group. I wanted to ask you though, do you enjoy shooting compound, yeah. like playing with the different disciplines?
Yes. I like it. It's very funny. And I shot with it because it's time to change my mind and do something different and do a competition with light mind.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah. It's so nice when we're shooting compound to be able to just, you put it in the middle and you just leave it there. You know,
yes, because it's not my bow, so I didn't want to do very high score. I just want, as I say later, it's just to improve myself. To I don't have a high objective.
yeah. So you're it's not stressful at all.
No, it's very light
shooting for fun.
Yeah.
That's great. I have to admit, I'm dealing with some things, but started shooting a little bit and shot compound a couple of weeks ago, Lancaster style. We shot like head to heads and, I was like, man, I forgot how much fun it is just to hit
the
middle every time, or for the most part, every single time. And it's just so easy. But so we are officially live, and we got a few people watching right now. This is definitely earlier than normal. What time is it over there?
In Italy now it's 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Yeah, so it's 4 p.m. here. We usually record 4 hours later, but it's all good. And I appreciate you taking time out. Cinzia and I have been talking about this podcast in almost a year, I think, like just over a period of time, just trying to narrow everything down and get it going. It's been difficult, but thank you so much for taking time out. I've enjoyed learning about your career and with the questions that we've gone back and forth on. So can you just quick, we're going to get started here. Can you just give a full introduction of yourself, where you're from, all that stuff? I know a lot of people know, but can you just explain it for yourself there, please?
Okay. At first, I would like to say thanks to Frank, to you, and to all people that are live now on Facebook or on Zoom. So my very difficult name is Cinzia Nozziglia. I'm from Italy, and I'm a bear bow. I shot bear bow until 2007, when I start, because a friend of mine started practicing archery, and he was very enthusiastic, and he said, try, it's very nice, it's beautiful, you can try when you want. And so it was a rainy evening during autumn in Italy. And so we said, there is nothing to do, what we want to do. So let's try, because he says that if we start, for the first time, we have all equipment, and so we can start when we want. And so this rainy evening I started, and I think I fall in love, because I love it always. I met my first coach, that is now it's an 80 years old man. That is always a teach in the club where I'm training yet, because I'm always in the same area. I live in a small place on the sea in Italy that is named Zoagli. And so I start with adventure with my first coach that is named Nino. And he was very able to... to seems that archery is amazing, it's funny, it's so beautiful. And so I decided to continue to do it. I bought my first bow, and I started with bear bow, because in my club everybody start with bear bow, because the coach says that it's more easy to learn the anchor. And so for the first time, you shoot with the bear bow. And then if you want, you can try with recurve or with the compound. And if you prefer, you can change. But the first arrow you shoot as a bear bow. I like it a lot. And so I continue with it. But I never thought that I could be a world championship in the future. I shot just for fun, and I grow up, I learn a lot, and I liked a lot of 3D, and so I enter in national team, in 3D national team, and I grow up as archer. And then my adventure in national team began three, four years later. The first international competition was in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first world championship was in 2013 in 3D. Then the next years in field. I shot always with bear bow. I'm bear bow, but I try other bow. I try with recurve. I try with compound. As I say, today I shot a competition with compound, and in the past I shot with recurve, just for fun, just to learn something that is important even for barebow, because I think that changing bow, it's a good way to learn something new.
Yeah, eases, like we were talking about before, it eases your mind a little bit. You get to shoot for fun, a little bit more fun. It's less stressful. I know in previous conversations through Messenger, we were talking about the Olympic versus barebow. And besides the, you know, the anchor change, do you feel like your shot changes, has to change a little bit going from one to the other, whether it's the way you hold, the way you expand, pull through the clicker with Olympic or anything like that? Do you feel like, are there any things that change from one to the other for you, or are you pretty much just staying the same?
No, it's not the same. No. Okay. the first things is handle the clicker, because it's very difficult if it's the first time that you do it. But I think it's very important for barebow to learn to handle the clicker, because with barebow you have to do the same but without the clicker.
Right.
So have this kind of tool. It's very important for barebow, even for barebow, not only for obviously for recurve. So shotting with the recurve and handle the clicker can help you for handle the barebow. And this is the first difference, the first things. The second one is the anchor. I don't know if it's only for myself or if it's general, but I find more difficult changing my anchor. And so this is another aspect. Maybe because it's a lot of years that my anchor is my finger on the angle of the mouth.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy for me. I don't have to search it. It's I go directly. I know it's solid. It's always the same, and changing it it's difficult, because it's another sensation, and you have to use other muscles.
Yeah.
So that's the second difference, the second important difference. The other, yes, maybe the sight, the aim, I don't find a lot of difference. Yes, obviously with the sight, it's maybe easier because it's clean and you have one point. You don't have the arrow points that is bigger. But I think this is not so different.
Yeah,
I think that with the Olympic handling the clickers, you must have a great muscle accuracy.
Yeah.
Because you have to handle the clicker in few millimeters, and so you shooting with the recurve can help to have this accuracy of your body, even when you shot with the barebow, that you have no tools. And so it's more difficult because you don't have tools.
Yeah, oh, you're definitely more difficult. Do you utilize a clicker in any way, shape, or form to train for barebow, or no?
Sometimes I use it, yes. Yeah. Not always, because if you are a barebow, you have to learn to use the barebow without any tools. But during your training, I think that it's good to use clicker. Yes,
I think the one of the questions that comes up often is the difference between pulling through a clicker and holding for barebow. Do you feel like the clicker, and I guess I never really thought of it this way, and I could see where it would make sense if it's being done correctly. I think the struggle that I see for the vast majority of people using a clicker to train is they're just pulling, as opposed to as you see, like Brady Ellison explains it well, where he talks about expansion is really just holding. It's that alignment and using your muscles and being stable. So I think that's where one of the crucial points is for people shooting Olympic or barebow shooters wanting to play with a clicker. It's not a pull, it's a hold that continues your expansion. And I guess maybe that's where there might be a little bit of a disconnect there with some people who have never had formal coaching to help them understand how to use a clicker. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think that when you use clicker, if you use it correctly, if you see the high level archery, they pull for a few millimeters.
Yeah.
They arrive, they have 1 millimeters, they expand, and this millimeter goes.
Yeah.
So, the holding of barebow, it's the same things. Your mind, you have to think that you are pull, even if you are not pulling.
Yeah.
But you are hold, because if you think that you are hold, it's probably that you go in front.
Yeah, we call it collapsing.
Collapse. Yeah.
No, so very good point. Absolutely.
In this way, I think that the handle clicker and use clicker can help barebow.
Yeah, I think you're right. I
with this thinking, pulling. Even if you are not pull, really, because if you handle clicker correctly, you don't have a lot of distance of pull. You arrive, you have 1 millimeters, you expand, and this go.
Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with who Kissick Lee is. And I have to, there's an explanation about ratio of movement within the national training system in America. And what it is, what they talk about is the amount of movement at the tip of this arrow, at the nock of this arrow, it's a pen actually. But the movement up here equates to the movement of the tip of the arrow to the expansion in the back. So this only moves a little bit down here, but look at how much movement there is up here. They call it ratio of movement. This is the expansion in your back. This is the amount that the tip of the arrow moves. So it doesn't take a lot to move two millimeters or 1 millimeter through the clicker. And that's what they talk about in some of the training here in America and in Kissick Lee's NTS. I don't agree with everything in NTS, but that is one thing that makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad I didn't expect our conversation to go down this path, but I'm glad that it did, because it's a lot of people want to hear the details about how you shoot and how anybody shoots. And not everyone can really dive deep into that conversation unless you've done it and think about it and shoot multiple disciplines, Olympic, recurve, compound, stuff like that. Do you feel like compound also helps a little bit? Not just the stress-free shooting, but like the hold, that solid back wall of a compound. Do you think that has some carryover too?
Yes, because you have to continue the pull, and because you have to maintain the scope in the center.
Yeah.
And this is another very important thing that you have to do with barebow. So with compound, you can learn how to aim, because aiming is very important part of compound, obviously for all bows. But I think that with the compound, you can, the aiming is probably a big part of compound shooting. And so I think that, yes, I think that shot with other bow can help in any way. So if you are a recurve, probably if you shoot with barbow, you can learn something. If you are a compound, if you shot with the recurve, you can learn something. Every bow has some characteristic that you can learn, and you can put it on your bow.
Yeah, as long as you're doing it correctly. I mean, if you're like for Olympic recurve, if you're drawing back and you're really bringing your head in like this, and you can't,
yeah,
you're like, that's not going to carry over. That's no good. So I think there has to be a little disclaimer or a note for everyone. Make sure that you are being coached and doing it correctly. Otherwise, that carryover, the characteristics that are the same are minimal. So, but yeah, that's good. So let's get into a little bit. Well, we're going to talk about your training, but let's talk about your equipment. So, we all know that you shoot for an amazing company, G-Lo, gold medal, Vittorio, an entire amazing company that they are. But let's talk through your entire setup and what your current plan is to use for indoor this year.
Okay. I shot with the G-Lo GF, that is the new one, that is on shop, I think, from November. Mm-hmm. So it's 1 month. It's very new. I like it a lot. There is something different from the past G-Lo GT. You can put the weight up and down, because now the rules are changing. So World Archery admit the weight for barebow and the damper for barebow even in the upper. And so now we can do it. And I trying to do what is the perfect equipment, what is the perfect combination of weight. I'm changing now because it's a few times that I can try it. And so at first I try with the weight down, with few weight up. Now I am not too much weight down and a good weight up.
Really?
It seems that it's good. I have G-Lo limbs. I shot 34 pounds. On my fingers are 32. My bow is 76 inches.
No, okay, that's long.
Yeah. It's 66. Sorry.
66. Oh, I was gonna say. Like...
No, it's not long. I'm short, and my length is not so high.
So 66. That's 20.
Yes. Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. 25 inch riser.
25. Yes. Yes. 25. I try 27, but I'm too short. My bow length, it's not enough for 27. And so, yes, I can do it in indoor because it's close. It's only one distance and it's not far distance, but I cannot think to shot with the 27 in field or in 50 meters. I use, it depends. I use a different arrow. In indoor, I try with the ECE, Easton, or with the full carbon, the company name DK Bow Factory, it's from Germany, and I use Panther, that is the full carbon with the high diameters shaft. The same for field and for 3D. For field, I shot with the Easton AC. And in 3D, I used the Gungnir, that is the same from DK Bow Factory. And they are very light. So in 3D, I don't know the distance. So if I I don't evaluate the correct distance. If my arrow is lighter, it's better, and
Right.
it's faster, and so it's better.
Yeah.
My equipment for field, it's quite the same for 18 meters for indoor. I don't
Okay.
change a lot. I change for 3D and I change for 50 meters. But 50 meters in Italy, 2023 was the first years we have national
Nice.
Target at 50 meters. So it's a very new competition.
Not to get off subject, but how do you like 50 meters compared to 18 meters?
I don't like a lot 50 meters.
You don't like 50 meters.
I don't like it because my draw length is very
short,
and so I have difficult to reach 50 meters. So
okay.
In field, I have to shot only three arrows, and I can invent something to arrive at 50 meters for three arrows. But
That's a
at 50
common,
meters to
yeah.
shot one competition aiming in the black
Ugh.
up, it's very difficult.
Yeah, that's not fun. I mean, what is your draw length?
25 and something more.
Okay, so it's relatively short. And
Yes.
When you shot 50 meters, so forgive me, my coaching hat is on at the moment. So you shot 50 meters. Was your anchor your normal anchor?
Yeah.
And
I could try to change it, but we return to the questions of recurve. It's very difficult.
Yeah. So,
so
you would have had to move down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Did you have you
I would
tried
like
like
to do it.
lower eye tooth or anywhere on the gum? Did you try that at all or no?
I anchor at my angle mouth now.
Yeah.
I
So
could
you're
try
right in
to
a
go.
corner. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at 50 meters, if you came down to like
Yeah.
your gum, you might go from the black to maybe top of the red. It's a little
Yeah.
bit better. And was your arrow pretty short then too?
Yeah, it's
But as short as
I
it can
don't
go.
have nothing more to cut.
Yeah. That's it's tough. It is tough. There's 50
Yes, but
meters.
it's. I think it's a problem we
Most
have.
common.
The Italian women, we have this problem. I don't know in the other part of the world, but so target season, it's contemporary with the field season. So even changing anchor, and this Sunday do a competition anchoring here, and the next Sunday do a
Yeah.
competition anchoring in another place. It's not good because anchor it's very important, and
Yeah.
so maybe if I will shoot always at 50 meter and only at 50 meters, yes, obviously I have to do something different. But at now we don't have international competition, and so it's a compromise.
Right. No, yeah, I get what
But
you're
I
I get
like
what you're saying.
target with compound. I like target at 50 meter with compound.
Yeah, that is fun too.
I appreciate more.
Yeah.
Because my aim is inside, it's in the yellow.
Yeah, that's I hear you. And again, even it's not just an Italian woman problem or shooter problem. That's all shorter draw length.
Yeah.
Men and women, unless you can bump your poundage up, you know, but I mean, like, it depends on setup and anchor and stuff like that. Like, if you have a short draw length, though, it is very difficult, and you're already shooting a relatively high poundage. I mean, it's not super high, but like 34, you know, 34, if you can get to 36, 38, definitely would make life easier. But you know, if it's not your primary competition distance, I get why it's, you know, so
yes, but if you increase with pound, maybe you have to change the shaft because the shaft is not, and so the other shaft, the weight is more, and so the problem is the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's definitely there's kinks and there's struggles with making changes. So it is what it is. That's why I talk to people and advocate. Do you shoot the same poundage indoor, outdoor, all everything? Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
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 Makes it easier to do every single season or competition. So yeah, it makes sense. It makes a ton of sense. So with that being said, knowing about your equipment and knowing, you know, what season we're in and stuff like that, what something unique to you is that you're in the military.
Yeah.
So you serve and you compete. Your competing and training is sort of intertwined with your military service. So what does your training look like and how are you able to keep up the schedule? I know the answer, but for people who are listening, can you talk about that a little bit? Because that's way different than the way things are done in America. So can you talk about that?
This is a great possibility that we have in Italy. Because the high level athletes can be in a military group. And so that's because being in military group can give us the possibility to train with a lot of time, to have a lot of time for training, to maintain the high level. So yes, this is a great possibility that we have here in Italy. I think in other European nation, I don't know what. I'm sure it's the same in Austria, probably. So I have time to train. I have time to dedicate my day at archery, at bow, not only shooting, but with exercise, with gym, with mental exercise, and so that's I shot at now 5 or 6 times per week.
Wow.
And so I know that my training, it's not easy for all people, but now I'm in military group from 2018, before I was employees in a company, and I had less time, so I know how is don't have time for training. And obviously the training are changing because if you don't have time, when you have 1 hour or 2 hours, you go to the field, you practice, you try to simulate the competition, because I think it's very important. If you don't have time, the first things that you have to do is to simulate the competition, to know what is your score, to know what you can want when you go on a competition, on a real competition. And if you have time, you can do different exercise. If you know what's your problem, you can work on that. You can dedicate a training for aiming, a training for improve your force, or different things that you have to improve.
How many arrows per day, roughly, are you shooting?
It depends. It depends on the period. It depends if there is a competition close or not. So from 120 to 300, not more. Because I think that it's better to shot few arrows, but in good way, than a lot of arrow without any know of what you are doing.
Do you make your training program, or does your coach do it?
Both, together.
Okay.
Yeah, together. Together, because I know if I have some problems, I know if there is something that I want to improve. I know my sensation about my my bow and my shooting, and so I share this with him, and he see my shooting form, and we work together.
Okay, all right. You talked about holding exercises. What is, or holding aiming exercises, I should say. What are specific things that you do to work on those, on those things, on both of those?
Okay. There is a lot of different exercise. The first one is to go to your anchor, maintain your point, your aiming point, maintain for a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you can find on YouTube the timing. Every 5 seconds, your YouTube video did the beep.
Oh yeah, like, so a, like you know five, that you have 5 seconds to... on, 5 seconds off, or like five seconds on, let down.
This
five
is,
seconds
this off. Is the easier, because you can do very easy. Another one is to put a different aiming point. If you have the yellow stitch, you put 3 or 4 yellow stitch, and you can move your aiming from one to another, to another, to another. You move and you hold, you move and you hold, you move and you hold, and then you decide to release. It's very important, I think, even to shot with the elbow training, because with elbow training, you don't have the idea of the score, so you know that the arrows goes in another part, and so you can concentrate on aiming and on gesture.
Yeah.
If you close one eyes, you can aim, close your eyes, open your eyes, close your eyes, open your eyes, holding.
Yeah, that's a good one. I never thought of that. That's good. So you're aiming, and then you close both eyes, open them, go back to aiming.
Yeah.
Close your eyes, go and do that for a cycle of some kind. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very, very good. Okay. I like it. I like it a lot. So I guess that leaves the question then, how are you shooting for score every day, or every other day, or does it just vary?
During my training, if I shot for score?
Yeah, during training, yes.
Yes, I score a lot, maybe too much, because sometimes it's if you do this kind of exercise, probably you can do it without scoring, but I like to do it. I think that it's very important to score if you have time. Every times that you train, if you don't have time, maybe one times per week, one times before the competition. If you have the competition on Sunday, maybe on Friday, it's good to simulate the competition and to score, because you have to know, to have an idea of what will happen on Sunday during the competition.
Right.
So if you do 500 points, but you don't know what's your value, because you don't know how you score during your training. Yes, you have this number, but it's a good competition or not good competition. You don't know, because you don't know what's your value in this moment. If you shot 490 during your training, and during the competition you shot 500, it's very good competition.
Right.
Because you shot more than your training. If you shot 450, maybe something goes wrong. So you have to thought about your competition and to know what is going wrong.
As we're talking about scores, is that what you don't have to answer this. It's up to you. Do you see what are your practice scores like versus your competition scores? Do you feel like they're higher or are they kind of the same all the time now?
It depends. Maybe the training are higher. When I'm in good form, the difference is very small. Okay. It's 5 points. But not always the same. So sometimes it's happened that during the training I shot higher scores, and then during the competition, maybe if it's a stressed period, or obviously the competition, not all competition are the same. Because if you have your competition in your indoor field with 20 archers, it's not as going to do the World Championship.
Lancaster Archery Classic. Yes. Am I coming to the Lancaster Archery Classic?
Yes. It's not the same.
Not the same, yeah.
By
the way, you are coming to Lancaster, correct?
This year, not. I came last year, yes. Three or four times.
Yeah.
No, this year I cannot. I know. I know. But next one, I will be.
Good. There was something I wanted to ask you after talking about the scores. I don't remember what it was. It was an afterthought of discussions, but that's okay. We've actually covered quite a bit. I do know what it was. The mental approach to training, I don't know how to say this. Is there specific things that you do to train for the mental side, or do you have access to therapists, coach, mental health coaches, or anything through your service, through the military? What's your philosophy there? How are you training the mental side of the game? And I don't know. I guess that's the only way to ask it.
During my training?
Yeah, during your training or outside of just shooting, what are you doing for mental clarity, for mental toughness? Okay. What's your approach?
Okay, I practice a course of mental training. So with the different technical of breathing, technical of relaxing. So I did it not with bow, just for my mind.
Sure.
So I try to learn a technique of relaxing, especially of relaxing, of image. Applying at the bow, you have to image your shoot, image your sensation, image what will happen. And so I did this kind of course. During my training with the bow, I try to be sure. So to look my score, look my shooting, look my group, and says, okay, it's good. To have faith in my shoot, in myself. So I think that training, the mental aspect of training is that. And so when you go to the competition, you say, okay, if everything was good during the training, if I have faith in what I do, why something has to change now that I'm in competition. Obviously, not always it's easy to do this, but the idea is that, and always enjoy of what are you doing. So at the first things, you are on competition. It depends on what kind of competition is, but you are here to have fun. Try to have fun, try to do your best. And if I am stressed, I try with this technique of relaxing, of breathing, of imaging to be relaxed, as relaxed as possible.
Okay, no, that's excellent. Excellent information. You, as far as the exercising side of what you do, like, do you just go to the gym? Do you meditate? Do you do yoga? Do you,
yeah,
what kind of things are you doing to aid you in becoming a better archer?
I think that is very personal, but I like yoga. Mm-hmm. I did it, I do it, and I think it's a great way to relax. But it's not the only technique, so it's probably that someone prefer meditation or other technique. I like yoga, and I like this kind of exercise with breathing that are connected with yoga.
Okay, good. No, that's again, those were questions that I didn't have planned. It's just this, we have these conversations, and I know I'm thinking about, like, people, the questions that I get all the time, or in the trainings that I do or the seminars, like, well, what should we do or what should we work on? And I think you kind of hit it just right by saying it's personal for everyone. Everybody responds differently to different exercises, different ways to relax. Kind of have to find your way of making it work for you. So,
and to find it, you have to try. You have to try. Maybe, for example, I read a book about these questions about the relaxed technique, and you have to find the best for you, for yourself.
Right. Yeah, and I think that even goes with shooting form and stuff like that. Like, the way that you do it and the way that I do it might not work for everyone. Speaking of, you have a very unique shot process. Specifically draw cycle.
Yes.
Would you be so kind to describe what you do and why you do it? Because it's probably one of the most notable things about you as a shooter, outside of your skill, an incredible accuracy, is your draw cycle is very unique, the way you set your alignment. Can you talk to that point, please?
Yeah. At first, I am always as possible concentrate on the sequence. So every time I repeat everything in a very compulsive way sometimes. So at first, I think about the position of my body, starting by the feet, the body, and then I go up with the bow. I stop and I prepare the bow arm. So the hand, the elbow, and the shoulder. Everybody always ask me what I look when I look down in this part of my shoot. The answer is that I don't know. I know that I start to do this for my position of this shoulder. I have to learn the correct position of the shoulder. So my coach says me, look at this. And I start to look if the shoulder is in the correct position. And now, after a lot of years, I can do it without looking, but this is in my sequence. And so everybody asks me, what are you doing? Why you do this? I do this because it's part of my sequence and I loop my shoulder. So when everything is good, I check for everything. The only thing that I have to do is to charge my back, trying to charge in the correct alignment, and I go to my anchor. So at this point, I am in the correct alignment with my elbow as behind as possible. So not like that, but behind the, on the part of my back.
Mm-hmm.
So I start my aiming part. I start aiming. I maintain the back tension. I hold. I think that pulling, and I relax my finger, maintaining my hand of the bow in the same position, even when the arrow is on the target. Obviously, it's easier during training, and it's different probably during training. If you see my videos on YouTube, on Facebook, it's video of finals, of competition, of important competition. So probably the sequence it's not, and the movement is not perfect because under stress.
Right.
Not everything goes good, not goes right. Sometimes it's possible that something goes wrong and not everything is correct. But that is the idea.
Right. No, it makes that. I think all of the high profile, for lack of a better term, archers that I either have worked with or talked to frequently or have interviewed, that's sort of the general consensus. Like, you train to be as accurate and repeatable as possible, but when the time comes, there's going to be deviations. It's going to change a little bit, but you're doing what you've trained. And so just to go back a little bit on your shot process, full draw, when you look at your shoulder and you come into your anchor, once you come into your anchor and you get the tip of the arrow, does it go right to the middle of the target or below the gold, or like as soon as you come to anchor, is your arrow going right to your aiming point?
Yeah. Okay. When I'm here in this position, I put my arrow inside, but I don't put my mind on the target.
Okay, good.
Yes, no, the arrow is here, but the most important thing is what I'm doing and not where is the arrow. Okay. So when I arrive at my anchor, the arrow is inside. I maintain the arrow inside. Obviously, it's not it is moving, it's not perfectly stop in the middle. It is moving, but it's not moving from red to red. It is moving inside the yellow. Mm-hmm. And that's why compound can teach something, because compound you have to stay inside and stop and nothing is moving.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Bebo, it's not easy because you have more poundage. So the idea is that.
Yeah, no, that's good. So once you're at anchor, you've committed to holding, the tip of the arrow gets to the middle and it's floating. We say floating, that's the term that we use. Like it kind of does like a figure eight sort of in the middle. And then do you just stay there until your fingers naturally release?
Yeah.
Or so you're not really letting go. You're not consciously saying, oh, there it is, I'm going to let go now. You're just letting it happen. Is that Is that fair?
Yes, the perfect shot is that.
Okay.
Eye training for that.
Yeah.
So that everything happened, relaxing the fingers, but it's not so easy.
I know.
It's
so
not
does
so
everyone
easy
that's watched this
sometimes
right now.
the fingers open and you say no. Or sometimes you say, I have to open now, and you move everything.
Yes.
But obviously the training is to do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. I think that it's important to be relaxed, to accept that sometimes some things can go wrong.
Yeah.
If your bow arm stay in and maintain and doesn't move, even if your release is not very, very good, probably the arrow is in or close to in. And that's...
Okay. No, that's good. It's good. It's good stuff. There's you've actually we've kind of covered all of like the questions and comments and stuff already. Inadvertently, we didn't try to, just through conversation it sort of happened. Your experience and the way that you're discussing your archery, I think, is going to be extremely relatable to a lot of people, because you make it look effortless, or that's just truth. You make it look easy. John Demmer makes it look easy. Like there's certain archers out there that just make everything look like it's just comes natural. And it's refreshing, I'm sure, for a lot of people to hear that, like, it's not always easy for you or anyone. You have to work, but few people, I think, understand how much work you put in to stay where you're at. I don't know if you know Maggie Brensinger, or if you've met Maggie, but like years ago when Maggie was sort of coming up, I always said to her, like, listen, it's easy to get to the top. It's easy to have motivation to become the best or as good as possible. The hard part is staying there.
Yeah.
And how much work goes into it. And the way that you describe your training, your commitment, all of the things that you do is a testament to how hard it is to be good at every level and every tournament and every discipline. And I think it should be eye-opening to hear that come from you. And it's not, you know, even some of the things like you've been innovative in some ways, like the drills, talking about opening the eyes, closing the eyes, like that stuff. Like those are things that you came up with probably working on your weakness, the something that was troubling you. You're like, okay, well, I'm going to do this because I think it'll help me. And that's something that I know John has said many, many times as well. Like, you got to work on the tough things, the things that you're not good at, work on them. That's how you become better.
Yeah, obviously.
So, no, it's excellent, Cinzia. It's such a good interview. I am so happy that we were able to connect on this. I am so disappointed you're not coming to Lancaster, but, you know, whatever.
Next year, I promise. Next year.
Okay, okay. But
this
yeah,
year was very hard to do it.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's tough to come over. I wish though you nothing but the best coming into this indoor season and as you go through. And as always, if you need anything, I mean, not that I can give you anything, but like if you ever need want to do an announcement or, you know, have something you want to talk about that you think could help people, the Barrel Project will always be open for you to try to put to words things that might help some other shooters. And that's really how we got started. So being able to reach out to you as one of the top Italian shooters, one of the top barrel shooters in the world, and be able to provide that information, it means a lot
to me and to the whole community. So you are definitely Barebow through and through. There's no one will ever question that. So I think what I'm going to do real quick, there's you can come back and watch the comments, or maybe you can comment there. Most of the like everybody's pretty much got everything answered. They're just saying thank you and showing you support. But we'll hang out here on Zoom for a little bit yet. I'm going to close the live feed and then we'll wrap things up. So everyone, you can say goodbye to everybody on Facebook. I'm going to end the live feed here.
Thank you to be watching.
And then we'll go from there. So everybody on Facebook, thanks for joining us. We got some stuff going on here. I'm finishing the second day of a seminar online. So you can't stick around for that.
Yeah.
Cynthia is going to stick around for a little bit. So I'm going to stop the live feed right now. Thank you, everyone. Watch for the uploads later.